Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us for our Bible study in the book of Hebrews. We are now in Hebrews chapter 13 and getting into the practical application of all of the teachings we have received in Hebrews chapters 1 through 12. Let's listen as John picks things up by talking about the early days of his Christian life when he first became a believer. Here's more of a message titled, The Ethics of a Christian in Relation to Others.
I came to know Christ in my mid to late 20s. And it was amazing instantly. And you see this a lot with new believers who are mature enough to understand at least. With a new believer in Jesus, they love being around other Christian people. I told you this before. When I came to know Christ, it was like there was this entire underground around me everywhere of these believers in Christ. Larry Hall's over here laughing. He was one of them. And this underground around me that I didn't know existed. All these people who believe this thing. And what's the first thing you want to do? You love spending time with God's people. I'd go to a little Demington Baptist church where this guy was teaching the Bible. And Sunday morning, all of a sudden, you mean you can come back Sunday night and they teach it too? Well, I came back Sunday. You mean on Wednesday nights he teaches another book? I can come back and be with and do that? Well, it becomes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Of course, there's a Bible study on Monday night with my future father-in-law. And then, of course, Thursday night, we had a study in another guy's apartment. It was like you couldn't get enough of Christians in the Word of God. It's only later, as Christians mature, then they realize some believers can be a little cantankerous and do some things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. But when they first come to know Christ, they're on fire. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. He says, you've got that love for the brethren. It's already there. And that is exactly, by the way, at the root of every problem that I have to deal with in my own life, you have to deal with in your life, and every problem that the shepherds in this church have to deal with. The problem is the lack of biblical love. We love ourselves. We love ourselves. And he says, you should exercise more and more the sincere love for the brethren. By the way, I'll just give this to you real quick. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't say be diligent to whip up the unity of the Spirit. Let's all be unified. No. Preserve the unity of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Just listen. I know I'm going faster. Just listen. But as touching brotherly love, Philadelphia again. You need not that I write unto you. You say, what do you mean? You don't need to tell us. What? For you yourselves, Paul says, are taught of God to love one another. Do you hear that? When you were saved, God already implanted in your heart a love for your fellow believer in Christ. Guess what? If you're a Christian married to a Christian, he or she is your fellow believer in Christ. Are you loving him? Are you loving her? Some of you aren't. Some of you aren't big time. Some of you, in response, are returning that lack of love with a bigger lack of love. And every once in a while, our hearts are touched to the quick by a man or a woman who's going through hell on earth and is about to file for that divorce. And you plead with them through tears, and you say, don't do it. Don't do it. Please, I beg you on the authority of the Word of God, as one of your shepherds, don't do it. And you watch him or her break in tears and say, okay, I won't. Please pray for me. And then you start getting their emails at 1:18 in the morning where they're starting to have a faith failure again. And that's exactly why I stand at this pulpit and lead us in longer prayers than you're going to find in most other places. Because we don't have any answers for anybody, let alone ourselves, other than the Word of God and the power of prayer. This is what it's all about. And this is what it's got to be all about. The comment comes back. Let me get this straight. You mean I can go, I'm way far afield on this, but there's a point to it. I pray it's Spirit-led. I can go commit such and such a sin against everything you're telling me to do. Then later I can just repent of it. Tell God I'm really sorry. Come on back and everything's just hunky-dory and I'm accepted. The answer to that question is, from man's perspective, yeah, you can do that. Do you think you're getting away with anything from God's perspective? Be very sure God is not mocked. What a man or woman sows, he and she will also reap. Too spiritual. There's no such thing. No such thing. Thing. I'm usually accused of being a legalist, not too spiritual. But there's no such thing as being too spiritual. There are consequences to your conduct. Yeah. You can tell God you're sorry and really mean it. And God will really forgive you. And will restore you to fellowship. And this church will restore you to fellowship. But don't think that there aren't going to be consequences still to your sin. David said, it's against thee and thee only that I've sinned and done this awful evil in thy sight. David was restored. And you know what God's promise was? The child's going to die and your whole family for the rest of your life is going to have havoc wreaked through it for the consequences of your sin. This is a guy who's a man after God's own heart. The sweet singer of Israel. The guy who pens most of the Psalms. And if you read through about his relationship with his children and all the things that happened, the reason why those psalms resonate so much with broken, hurting hearts is because they were written by a guy's heart that was broken. And a lot of his brokenness was a result of his own willful sin. There's consequences when John Politan willfully sins, and there's consequences no matter who is doing what to you. There's consequences when you take that walk on the wild side and do it God's way. 1 John 5:1. You ever wonder about your salvation? Listen to this. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now listen to this. And everyone that loves him loves those who are begotten of him. Do you know that your love for others in the family of God is a direct barometer on your relationship to God, the relationship to Christ, and the legitimacy of it? Jude 21, this is a great phrase. Listen to this. Keep yourselves. Isn't that great? Don't whip it up. You got it. Keep yourselves, he says, in the love of God. Hebrews 6:10 that we quote a lot. For God is not unjust, and he will not forget your work, get this, and the love which you have shown for his name by your having ministered and continuing to minister to the needs of the saints. He says, showing love for God. He's saying, keep it up. And in other passages, he says, excel far more. Now, God knows that we can do a lot of tremendous damage to this Philadelphos, to this love for those who come from the same womb, those love for those in the family of God, and love for fellow mankind outside the family. We can do a lot of damage by our selfishness. Where would you find a good definition of what this brotherly love looks like? I'm so happy that you asked, because you can find it in Romans 12, verse 10, and I actually want you to turn there. Some of these, it's good to see with the eye. Romans chapter 12, in verse him. He says point blank, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And now he defines it. Giving preference to one another in honor. There it is right there.
Do we give preference to others? I think our natural flinch is to give preference to ourselves. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews and bring you more of a message today titled, The Ethics of a Christian in Relation to Others. You can download free copies of John's sermons on our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Just click on the Sermon tab and download free MP3 files of John's teaching. For CD copies, just click the Contact tab and send us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to our study as John talks more about giving preference to others as a way of life for the Christian.
Giving preference to your spouse in honor. Giving preference to your brother or sister in Christ in honor. There it is. There's a long time ago movie, I won't share what it was, but there's a scene in which the principal character, he's the president of the United States, and he's standing before a joint session of Congress, and he's admitting his fraud and his lies and his deceit, and he's taking credit for it all. And he makes a great comment. He says, somewhere along the way I got lost. And I forgot that this job was just a part-time job. And he says, a temp job at best. And he says, and I forgot that the American people deserve better. I need to, and here was the phrase, I need to care more about you than I do about me. And that's exactly what preferring one another in preference means. It means caring more about the other person than I do about me. Now that's the definition. How does it operate? What grows it? What brings it about? Go to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Brotherly love operates from one primary characteristic, character quality, attitude of heart. Preferring others over yourselves operates, it's spawned out of one character quality. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with, there it is, humility. Circle it, underscore it, star it, yellow, highlight it, do whatever you got to do. Humility of mind. Let each of you regard one another, here we go, as more important than himself. How? Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance of a man. He humbled himself. How? By becoming, here's our word, obedient. Even obedient to the point of death. Though he slay me, I will trust him. I'm going to obey those vows that I took before Almighty God when I married him. No matter what. Even to the point of death, I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God because I trust in the providential hand of a loving God who's greater than the hell on earth I'm living under. And I'm going to listen to my elders, and I'm going to listen to the men and women who love me, and I'm going to listen to those prayers, I'm going to listen to the voice of God, I'm going to listen to the encouragement, and I am not going to bail on this marriage. That is exactly what that woman did. That's exactly what we need to pray that she continues to do. It doesn't feel good. It isn't going to be pleasant. It isn't going to be nice. And there's absolutely no promise whatsoever that her situation is going to get better. It may physically get worse before it's over. And as I say to her, I said to you, I say to you what I said to her when we sat there the other day, Bob and I, you will someday be so thankful for all eternity that during a short 60, 70, 80 year, whatever your span of your life's going to be, you did it God's way. Because now you have all eternity to reap the blessings that a loving God desires to bestow upon you by relying upon His grace and doing it His way. You've got to see this from an eternal perspective. If you don't see your life from an eternal perspective, you and I will blow it repeatedly. Like in many ways I do. With my mouth and with other things. We've got to see this from an eternal perspective. And there is no way you can do this without being more committed to the Word of God in prayer. And crying out for grace and those means of grace that we've talked about. And we as a church want to be a means of grace in that lady's life. We want to be a means of encouragement to her and everybody else who's struggling and trying to do it God's way. So, it operates, by the way, out of humility. Well, how do you get humility? We've said this a million times. Humility comes from the right spiritual knowledge. It's setting your life up against the right standard. What's that? It's the Word of God in Christ. Let me tell you something. If I set myself up against Mark, or Mark sets himself up against Stella, or we try to set ourselves up against Kathy or whoever, you can always find somebody who's not doing it, quote, as good as you. They're not the standard. We have one standard. The Word of God and Christ is the only standard there is. How are you doing compared to that standard? What? You'll fail every time. That's the whole point. It's so that you and I can see what we are and what we're not. And who God is. And we will humble ourselves before that. How dare you, John, say those things to Terry? How dare you act that way? How dare you have an attitude? How dare you be so self-centered, self-righteous, self-justifying, and self-pitying? How dare you do that? You're offending in the first instance God. You're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. Have you been obedient, John, to the point of death? Have you really? Have you shed blood for standing for what's right? Of course not. You failed the test. You failed the standard. You should be the most humble guy in the world. And all the great saints that you'll read, all the dead guys that you'll read, just name one. All the Robert Murray McShanes and all of the other guys that you'll read, every one of them will tell you, the closer and more time they spend in the Word of God, the closer they got to the person and work of the Christ, the more they looked into that glass as a mirror trying to see where are the spots in my life compared to Christ. Remember we said about that last week? The more they did that, the more they realized what sinners they were, the more humble they came. And the more humble you become, you know what? The more you'll start preferring others over than yourself. And you'll start thanking God for everything. You'll thank God for a hot water and a shower. You'll thank God for a meal. You'll thank God as wedged in his prayer, starting out the day. I love the prayer when he said, we thank you, God, that we even have breath in our lungs. It's amazing how thankful you'll start becoming. I'm complaining about a sore back that hurts because of planting some plants. Thank God I had the energy to plant plants. I'm so ungrateful because I'm a self-pitier and I'm self-righteous. Go back to Proverbs chapter 30. You got to see this one. Especially since I'm into self-confession here. This underscores why big time. Proverbs chapter 30. This is one of those that you read and you go, what is this? I'm going to tell you what it is, thanks to the wonderful exegesis of people with greater understanding of Hebrew and unbelievable walks with the Lord that I've read. Proverbs 30 verse 15. Says, my New American Standard says, the leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied. Four, that will not say enough. Let me stop right there. If you have an old King James Version, it might say, not the leech, it might say the horse leech has two daughters. Give him. So, Gwendy Kim's a horse person. Maybe you know what a horse leech is. I don't know. But let me tell you what a horse leech is. A horse leech is a big leech. And it's got sort of a fork-shaped tongue. And guess what? It sucks blood out of the horse. And it's so voracious, it sucks and sucks and sucks the blood until it gets so full it explodes. It literally kills itself because it's sucking so much blood. And Spurgeon, and Lawson is alive, and another commentator on this portion of Proverbs, said the horse leech has two daughters, give, give. The leech that sucks all humility and all spiritual life out of your soul. Get this, write this in the margin of your Bible and draw an arrow to leech is self-love. Self-love is the biggest leech we've got. Self-love. It has two daughters. Give and give. Now let me give you names for those two daughters. The first give, I circled it and I drew an arrow out to the margin of my Bible. You know what her name is? Self-righteousness. Self-love. It gives birth to two things. And the first thing it gives birth to is self-righteousness. We think we are so good. And the second daughter that says give there is John Politzon's favorite offspring, self-pity. Self-love has two children, self-righteousness and self-pity. And that leech of self-love is never satisfied, and it will suck you dry until your whole life implodes and you don't even know the reason why. That's why it says you must crucify yourself every day, every moment of every day. Pick up your instrument of death. Pick up your cross, Jesus.
You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politzon as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews with more of a message today titled The Ethics of a Christian in Relation to Others. If this program is ministering to you and you'd like to give back where the Lord is blessing you on the radio, please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can make a secure, tax-deductible donation of any amount and help keep Reformed Living on the air. You can also write to John. He loves to hear from listeners, and he responds. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living, too. Here's John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague, and thanks for listening today. Do join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. And now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politzon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.